So a lot of times we go out soul winning, and we have, you know, we're not seeing anything happen. We're not seeing anybody get saved. We're not being able to preach the gospel to anybody. You know, we kind of find ourselves doing the same things over and over, and there's no results that we're seeing, right? When we get to that point, we need to do something. We need to start questioning what we're doing, our patterns we're creating in how we're preaching the gospel. And we need to see if we need to change anything that we're doing. I like to quote this quote here. It's by this guy named DeWitt Jones. He was a photographer for National Geographic. But he's quoted as saying this. He says, perspective can take you from ordinary to great. So your perspective on what you're seeing when you're out soul winning, the person you're talking to when you're out soul winning, where you're coming from when you're talking to them is what can take you from getting that person saved, from not getting that person saved, to getting that person saved. So the title of this soul winning tip really is, it's called Break the Pattern. Break the pattern that you're going out there and repeatedly doing that's not giving you any results. You see, what we see and how we react depends on our perspective when we're talking to a person. When we knock on that door and they open that door, we are already judging them, all right? We are saying, look, is this person receptive? Is this person going to listen? Are they paying attention? You know, what kind of neighborhood are we in? You know, we already got an idea of how the people are going to act. So sometimes when you're out there and nothing's actually happening, you need to come up with a different perspective in order to create something great out of a situation that is probably not going to be good for you. And you're not going to be seeing that person saved because your perspective is not the right one. So sometimes all it takes when we're out there soul winning is for the right soul winner to come along, right? So how do we become that right soul winner in order to change our perspective to get that person saved, right? So I got 5 points that I want to go over real quick. And point number one is this, you know, we ought to train our technique, right? You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says all scripture, right? All means all, the entire Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. You see, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? There's more than one way to go about giving the gospel. You know, you might need to go out there knowing and having learned other verses in soul winning. I mean, if you're going out there and your gospel presentation only consists of 4 verses out of Romans, you know, you're not really doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not learning other ways to give the person the gospel. You're not showing this person other ways that they are actually sinners and they are deserving of a devil's hell, right? Hebrews 5:13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe, right? So we need to learn other verses, other soul-winning verses, to give people, to show people different ways how they can be saved. Not different ways as in there's only one way to be saved. You're saved by grace through faith, right? So Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, you're only going to go out there and be able to preach the gospel to people using other soul-winning verses if you actually go out there and try to use them. Second, we need to put ourselves in the place of the most potential, right? Look, we need to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Right? You see, the only thing that's keeping us from the end of the world is the fact that we actually have saved people that are going out and preaching the gospel, right? That are preaching the word of God. You know, we have people here that are taking their times out of their lives to go stand in that gap. And the thing is you're not in the place of most potential if you're not out soul winning, right? If you're not out actively trying to give the gospel to somebody, if you're not taking those opportunities. Thirdly, there's that decisive moment when you knock on that door and somebody answers and you start talking to them. You know, you need to instantly make a decision in your mind. You know, is this person a person that's going to listen? Is this person a person that's going to pay attention to what you're saying? Is there a bunch of distractions going on around you? Are they holding a 100-pound pit bull barking at you at the door? You know, you might not take the time to talk to that person. You're going to be wasting your time at that point. But Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Look, you're going to sow the seeds of the gospel. You want to sow those seeds on good ground. You want to sow those seeds when the person's going to be receptive. You know, don't waste your time trying to plant corn in a bunch of rocks. It's not going to work. So once we determine that this person is ready to listen, we need to do what? We need to open our mouths boldly, right? Ephesians 6:19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You know, if we can't initiate the gospel presentation with a sense of authority, all right, the person at the door is not going to take you seriously. You need to open your mouth boldly. You need to act like you know what you're talking about, and you should know what you're talking about when you're talking to somebody at the door. Or we need to be patient. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Look, you need to take the time to understand where that person at the door is coming from. You know, you need to understand the meaning of what they're saying when they respond to your questions. You know, a lot of times you go out and say, "Look, are you a sinner that deserves to die and go to hell?" And they're like, "No." But you've already explained that they're a sinner and the penalty of that sin is hell, and they've agreed with that. Look, they're not understanding your question. So you need to rephrase it. All right? I've done that several times. This last weekend, I don't know how many minutes I spent on that one question when the girl that I was talking to that got saved had already understood what I said before. You know, I rephrased it, and eventually it clicked for her, and eventually she got saved. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit better than the proud in spirit." Look, when that person is not getting what you're saying, be patient. Don't get prideful and decide to cut it off. If they're listening to you, actively listening to what you're saying, don't just cut them off. Take the time. I was out with Brother David last weekend, and he took the time. I mean, it was like the longest gospel presentation I remembered in a while, right? Not only that, that person got saved, but then the guy went and got somebody else out from the house to hear the gospel, and I'm like, man, my feet are hurting. You know, Brother David was patient. Two people got saved. Amen. All right. Number 5, take advantage of the windows of opportunity. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Look, if you take those opportunities, you are going to sow bountifully. If you take those opportunities, you are going to see many people saved. If you don't, you're not, okay? We want to see people saved. That's our primary objective, you know. We need to be taking every opportunity we have to preach the gospel. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go out today, I pray that you fill us with your spirit and you help us to preach the gospel and actively listen to people as we're talking to them, Lord. Pray that you fill us all with your spirit. Keep us safe. Keep us strong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.